where are we now?
Well, you were saying
we've got away from the bus.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. No, that I got absolutely got that. So yeah, scouts. I think you were saying something earlier about the wee story about an engine falling on a house.
Ah, well, that was all part of being a son of the local policeman. You got to hear all sorts of things that you weren't maybe supposed to hear about, talk. But it also had its benefits that you could. I got taken to a lot of these places to see it, and I can remember there was a plane crash. I think there's two separate incidents. There was a plane crashed in Ben Gulliban. That's the one that's just at the bridge, the old bridge at the Spittle. It's the big one, the big mountain that faces you there. That was an American plane that crashed. I remember Father speaking about that. But I remember I must have been 5 or 6, maybe more. I really don't know. I've tried to research this on the internet and I've never been able to track it down, any record of it. But a plane blew up in mid-air. Don't know what kind, it was a bomber of some kind, Halifax or something like that. And the engine, one of the engines landed on top of a cottage in Glenshee, just north of Glencillery, Bray. I don't know if you know where I am there. It's further up the Glen Pass where the Black Lunas Road goes off to the right.
Right.
There's a Bray, and it's up there. And there was this cottage on the left-hand side of the road going up. Just back off the road, the garden, right down the road. And it landed right on top of the cottage, demolished it, and there was fire. And I can remember being up, my father taking me, and he said, you can come, but you have to stay in the car. And you had to go up there. Must have been a Sunday, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. But I can remember seeing it. I was allowed out to go round the back and see this thing, not to go too close. And the thing sitting smoking away still in the middle, and the fire brigades were there and such like. But the thing that always impressed me was that apparently the cottage was empty of people. People had left the house the week before, and there were new tenants moving in on the Monday.
Right.
And this catastrophe had happened on the few days when the cottage had been empty. And it lay there as a ruin for quite a lot of years. And gradually, of course, they've planted trees all the way up there, and I've never been able to put my finger on exactly where it was. I'd have to think about it and have a look at a map or two. But it was up, I think it was before you got to where the Clan Thomas have their place now. It's just
right.
Before you got there, there was something.
Another thing was, I was just thinking, you know, you were saying, talking about there being like big estates and stuff. What was the interaction like between the people from the, I've heard it's like the big houses and the villagers?
Well, yeah. Well, as kids, you got to know where you could and you couldn't go.
Right, okay.
As I said before, the local farmers, they knew the kids and the kids knew them and they knew kids' parents.
Right.
So, you know, you never got up to any mischief. There was no what you call vandalism, certainly nothing like you get today. It was just kids playing. But some of the big states, they didn't encourage people out with the state fraternity to visit them. Mr. Balfour, he was a different guy altogether. He didn't have any problems in Dunedin Estate and down Kendrogan and such like. There was never any problems up there. The people who had, well, the absentee landlords, shall we say, we're talking about maybe Balvarden and Pitcairmac, places like that, you didn't see a lot of them because they tended to turn up only in the summertime.
Okay.
In the good weather, or for the shooting and the fishing. We really never had a lot to do with. You knew who they were, but you didn't mix. I'm trying to think who. There's a family used to come up to Balnald, and they were never there long enough for you get to get to know them. And other ones, well, as I say, but Carmack was a sort of, it's not someplace we went to. For one thing, it was further down the glen.
Mm-hmm.
Not so local, if you like. For instance, the scouts were never allowed to camp down there. For some reason, we never got to camp on Big Carmack Estate. But most of the other places, there was no problems about that at all.
Right, yeah.
And of course, the ones further up the glen, as I said, Balvarn Estate, that was the Stormont Darlings. And then you were further up, you were into Dunedin, which is Francis Balfour, and then you were in Glenfernet Estate. But, I mean, that was too far away again. And a lot of these, the owners, they weren't there in the winter time.
Okay.
And it was run by their father or local keeper or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only time we really came in contact with them, shall we say, was, and this is another source of income that we talked about earlier on, agriculture, different kind of income. It was the most lucrative one was grouse driving.
Right, okay.
After the glorious 12th, once it scared away and shot all the birds that within reach, they would, parties of beaters would be assembled, and it was a bit like the tatties, everybody knew who was doing what and
yeah.
when. And you were hired for the day, you got paid by the day, and taken out on the hills, and I used to thoroughly enjoy it because it's a super way of making money.
Yeah.
Especially when, they had a rule now. They used to come down from Glenfernet or whatever, or Dunedin, and collect you in the village,
okay.
take you back. Now, if they came and collected you, and you got there and decided that the weather was rubbish and it's bucketing rain and driving gale, and decided not to go out in the hill, it took you back again, but you got half pay.
Oh, even...
You got half pay, yeah. But if you got there and they went out and you did a drive, and then they decided that this is terrible, we'll pack up and go home at lunchtime, you got your full day's money, so it was always good. But in saying that, it was a hard day. When you think about it now, we were what... I think I first was at the grouse, that'd be 14, 15, 16. I remember driving grouse after I'd started work, in fact. I remember being home on leave from the National Service and driving grouse one day at Stralloch. But if you take Glenfernet, for instance, you were taken up to Glenfernet and then you walked. Nowadays there's tracks and they've got Land Rovers and things
yeah.
that can take it. But you walked out to the foot of Benyglow before you even started. And if you were fit and selected to be the flankers, because the drive out and you'd have people going up the side as well, to
yeah.
so you had a U-shaped drive, they had further to go than anyone else. And you could cover miles and miles in one day, and it wasn't miles and miles on a track. You were in ditches, through bogs, you know, just the terrain that was there.
Yeah.
You went straight over it, and if you didn't keep up, you got shouted at. You spent more time watching out for yourself than you were for grouse. Do your shouting, wave your flags and whatnot. Always thought, I spent a lot of time in as flags. It was always dangerous if you're in the middle because some of the guns weren't as maybe as competent as you would like.
Right. Okay.
Although only once was aware of a shout of pellets coming down, you know, like rainfall. But that was always a good. But that was generally towards the end of August, September.
Right. Okay.
You
yeah.
did that sort of thing.
Well, that's good. I've not heard anyone talk about that before.
I don't know if they still do that but in these days. They used to talk about, it was always a topic of conversation, how many brace did such and such an estate get today. And you were talking about 100, I can remember figures, 140, 160 brace. That's 300 odd birds being shot.
Right. One day.
And certainly some estates had a better reputation than others. It depended who, because they always had guests in for the shooting. It wasn't, and it was always said at Glenfernet, if you were a rubbish shot, you just didn't get to go out. You know.
Yeah, you'd ruin the reputation.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the rest, I don't know. You never knew much about it because, as I say, it was us and them.
Right,
they would have their hampers and their lunch party, and you would have your piece in the a few, maybe 40, 50 yards away in another little corner. But it was a long day because you would get picked up at 7:30 in the morning sometimes, and you wouldn't be home until same time at night, you know.
Right.
And you'd be on your feet all the time.
Uh-huh.
If you look at a map, it's a long way from Glenfernet up to Loch Loch, and
I can pause it for a while if you want.
No, it's okay.
No, carry on.
No, by the time you went along the face of Benigloe and right up to Loch Valigan, down the Valigan Corrie, and all the way back down, it was a lot of walking,
as
I say, over very rough ground. But there was all sorts of. You had your fun as well. I mean, it was great. It was great, as long as you kept up, you were okay.
Just being shouted at, like.
Oh yeah, I mean, it wasn't vicious shouting.
No, that's good about the pay thing. You know.
Sorry. Who's at the door?
Next door.
Oh right.
How's it going?
No, bad, yeah. I mean, I don't know what, like, do you want...
do you want to join in?
Yeah.
I'm telling about driving grouse.
Yes, I'll join,
yeah. Sure, yeah. That's fine. I was talking to... I can't remember who I was talking to. Someone saying that some of the farmers, like, you wouldn't get your pay for, like... doing the tatty picking for a month or 2 months or something, and then they'd come round. But some people were like quite good at it.
Well,
like.
Yeah, the first wages I ever earned was for a quarter day on a half bit at Jim Small's Tatties, for which I got 2 and 6 months for 12.5p.
Right. Yeah.
And I must have been 10 or 11. And I had been up my parents for long enough to be allowed to go to the tatties. Anyway, I got started, and they nearly finished. They finished at 10 o'clock that day, so that was got a half yoke in.
Right.
And then moved on to another farm. So that was my first. And then you moved on to the next farm, and you may be there for 2 or 3 days, or maybe a day, depending on how much they had and the way of spuds to lift. And as far as getting paid is concerned, I can never remember actually getting money in my hand on the field. And when you think about it, they probably didn't have that amount of money themselves. I mean, there were farmers, there were very small farmers,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't have that amount of cash flowing through their hands. Maybe they did, maybe they had a big sock under the bed, I don't know. But I can never remember having to wait terribly long to get cash. You know, you always got, I see, well, remember, you always got maybe next week sort of thing.
Yeah, next week.
Aye. Uh-huh.